Welcome to We Empower, the radio show that inspires you to embrace your potential, resilience, and strength. In these challenging times, we're here to help you unlock your power to overcome obstacles, pursue your dreams, and shape a brighter future. I'm Annabelle Tennis, your host for this empowering hour. Welcome, everyone, to another exciting episode of We Empower. I'm thrilled to have you all with us today. So sit back, relax, and get ready to be inspired. Let's make today count. In today's episode, we will have a great guest here to introduce. That's two. We have our first, Emil Plattenberg, a great voice from Hamburg, but also internationally, AKD Dine from the Plattenflottburg, on identity, courage, and for turning life into art, a story about self-acceptance, creativity, and the freedom to be truly yourself. Followed after Caroy Hetman from Curiosity to Clarity, Carolina Hetman on leadership, learning, and building impact with purpose, a conversation about growth, focus, and future-ready thinking. But first, let's kick off the radio show with a song selected by Daniel. Welcome, Daniel Plattenberg. Welcome, Didine von der Plattenflottburg. Happy to have you here.
Wonderful. Thank you for having me and Happy New Year. Today is the 2nd of January. We are recording this, and it is really, really wintry here in Hamburg. And I hope you have a nice and wonderful morning as well.
Thank you so much. Yes, it's the first show in the new year, so something really symbolic we bring here to our listeners. And I'm very happy to have you here. I would like to introduce with a few words, Daniel. You learned not to bend, you learned not to expectations, not to rules, not to a word that often feels too narrow for those who live in color. You are many. You're an entrepreneur, philosopher, moderator, performer, and above all, someone who has given yourself permission to be real. Together with Stephanie Meyer, you founded Atelier PMP, a fragrance house where perfume becomes philosophy and scent turns into a storytelling. And as design founder Platon Flottberg, and excuse me if I don't pronounce it right, do I pronounce it right?
Well, it's very simple. It's Didine.
Okay.
it is one of these names you are rewarded with by a very young toddler child starting to learn to speak, and we tried to teach that kid that my friend who was there is name is Christine, and the toddler made Kikin, and then we tried to tell the toddler that my name is Daniel, and it transferred it to Didine. So suddenly I have this name, and that's how it came up. It is really coincidence.
Oh, it's a great, great story. I love it. Maybe we should all have a second name like that, which reminds us also to be a child. It reminds us to love whenever it's possible, and to fulfill our dreams we have from childhood, and go with these open eyes into the world, and not stop with that, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, as Didine, you step onto stages with courage, humor, and depth, a queer icon, a thinker, a voice for self-acceptance. Between theater, academia, nightlife, and creative work, you represent a life lived consciously, boldly, and unapologetically. Today, we talk about this journey, about childhood, about identity, about courage, rituals, and the art of becoming who you truly are. Great for begin of this new year. So, Daniel, when we start with your childhood, when did you first sense that you perceived the world differently?
To be honest, very, very early on, I was one of these childs. I was living in a beautiful small city, and loads of kids in my street were playing together. It was really, really wonderful and colorful, and everything was possible. But I realized that I am not the one guy who's doing guy stuff, bloke stuff. I was looking at other boys climbing up trees, and I was like, why do they do that? I don't get it. Or at parties, I had these typical 90s, 70s, or 60s hippie parents, and we were part of the big parties they had, and we as children could run around and play with the grown-ups. So I always were together with the female friends of my mother, and I loved the womanhood situation there. And I remember, and I mean, these are the horrible 70s. My teacher in second class wrote in my after in my Zeugnis, what the English word for Zeugnis?
In your in your certificate.
Exactly, in my year-end certificate. Daniel is playing too much with women and females and with dolls. Parents have to watch out. So very soon, in a way, and I think this is something many queer people experience, I was marked by society as different or wrong. And that was a feeling that was and stayed with me for a very long time, actually. And I had to find my way how to cope with that, and how to make that into something good and positive.
It's great that you had this feeling already and early that first, I mean, you're different, but second, it's okay. Because I think many, many people I have the feeling when they get a feedback like this, oh, I have to fit into the society. I have to stop talking like this. I have to stop dressing up like this. I have to stop thinking like this. And this is bad because we need exactly color. We need color to be innovative. We need color to be, because this is a part of being human. But the society loves to put you into boxes, right?
Absolutely. And I just can encourage everyone who's listening today, if they have children, let's start with the children. If they have children who somehow perform differently for whatever reason, and these children need that space and freedom to do so, please give it to them. Because my experience was, I knew who I am, but it was so hard, even impossible for a long time of my youth to perform who I want to be, that I try to fit in, of course. And that meant that I bend my soul during my whole childhood in a way to somehow fit in, at the same time feeling that it's not my real nature. So it was a very mixed and strange situation for possibly the first 20 years of my life. And I mean, today we have the word minority stress for that, because you try to fit in, it doesn't really work. It feels like you're always living with the brakes on because you can't perform as good as you can. And many minorities know that. I mean, as a queer person, somehow you can try to fit in. But I mean, if you are a person of color, whatever, it is always visible or there. So yes, we experience that. And it is really something. If you are a strong character, you can turn that into something positive. I have that one workshop, which is called Queer Superpowers, based on exactly that insight, that so many things that hinder us or that are in our ways and try to stop us. When we overcome it, we have superpowers to shape the world how we need it and want it for us. And it's not a queer thing. It is something that's true for so many people. But I think it is something queer people learn very early on, with things like coming out and things like that, that you have to question yourself with this brutally true question: who am I? What do I need to exist, to perform, to be the best version of myself? And that is a training we do as queer people again and again and again. So I'm not just a gay man, I'm also a drag queen. As you said, in my fi early 50s, I came out as non-binary. So we have these moments of coming out and questioning ourselves: is that right where I am at the moment? Are the situations, the structures, the world around me, the right world I want to be in, and then to change that. And for me, it is quite interesting when I see, and no harm meant I want to, in a positive way. Very often when I see heterosexual friends, they are not used to these questions because the world is made for them to fit in. And I then they have the whatever life crisis around 40 or 50, because they're not used to ask themselves, what do I need? What do I want? So, yeah.
Absolutely, I'm absolutely with you, and I think it would be great if you can if you can offer this workshop to everybody, because you're absolutely right. I'm with you. I mean, when the kids start getting into the world is open and it feels like that. And every kid has the idea that dreams can be fulfilled and you can live the life you want. But very early, they get the idea that they have to be conformed in kindergarten, stand in the row, and just talk when you ask. Just go at this time to the toilet. The other times forbidden. Just eat what comes on the table. All these things is something to give you the idea, oh, it's not good to be individual if individual is different. So whatever different a difference is, I mean, we are humans, we are different. Everybody is different. And I think this is a great learning from queer, that what you said, I mean, you had to, because you felt terribly, sometimes really with pain, that you are different. Other people have learned from their parenthood, for example, that they have to adapt. But for what? I mean, the invoice is very very high, as you said. It comes at the midlife crises. It comes sometimes when the first illnesses start and the people figure out, oops, okay, it is something they call psychosomatic. But why psycho? Am I psychologically ill? No, you have hidden yourself. You have to find it back. And I think there are many people around in the world, and I think we would have much more peace in the world too, if we have these, all people found themselves.
I mean, what you just say, it's wonderful how you put it, because the deeper lying truth is that people very often lose themselves. They forget who they really are, why they fight for whatever the beauty in their lives, because there is so much caught in job and everyday situations and being good parents and things like that. And I just want to encourage people to do that, possibly a little bit like as a self-care exercise, to sit down possibly 1 or 2 days a year, taking time off and just think about who, what is good in my life and what do I want to change. Very simple question, nothing special, nothing too philosophical here or spiritual, but really ask themselves, what can I change, what should I change, and just to be aware of the plus situations and the minus situations is already helping. Sometimes you can't change, but to be aware, oh, wow, this is the part of my life that costs so much energy and I have to put so much energy in. Possibly I can make that a bit smaller and the plus side a bit bigger. Simple things like that already can help. But it is possibly the one advice I would like to give to everyone. Try to understand who you are.
Absolutely. Dan, I think a lot of people just live their life, and if feelings come up like I feel unpleasant, I feel depressive, then they learned it is not allowed to be. It shouldn't be. So it's part of mine, which is not good, which is negative, and I have to be restrictive to it. Instead of saying, I love you too. You are a part of me. Maybe I should listen more to you to learn from you. Why are you a part of me not feeling good now? You are okay to be on this.
Years ago, like 20 years ago, something many people experience. I suffered from a massive panic attacks and anxiety disorder for whatever, 3-4 years. And to understand that this is not the evil in my life, but the helper to correct which way I should go, and that something is not right in my life, was the biggest insight to cope with these things and to be able to integrate that into my life and not be dominated by that, even though it was a tough time, to be honest, but to understand this is a guideline. It helps you to become the better version of myself.
Absolutely. I think it's great that you did it and that you accepted it as a kind of teacher for you. As a kind
of and therapy. Yeah.
I can imagine. But you did it. You said yes to this challenge. I mean, how many people are there who think that this is something they have to hide, or they don't talk about this, they don't get help from therapists, from coaches, from a third party, and in the end, they fail with their whole life because of this. I mean, you won life because of this, and I'm looking forward to talking further with you about that after the 2 minutes break.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
We continue our talk with Daniel Dano Plattenberg, Akar Didine, on identity, courage, and the turning life into art, a story about self-acceptance, creativity, and the freedom to be truly yourself. Daniel, thank you so much for being so open. We talked before the break about the panic attacks you had and where you where it was hard, of course, first for you to accept that there is something wrong, but then you accepted it by taking also therapy. Do you want to describe a bit what was the most outstanding situation in this phase of you? Where it maybe brought you a shine into your light? What was this, or where you felt really the most touched by this, what came to you as a sign, as a symbol, but as a maybe also very hard attack against you first?
Well, interesting question. Because I really must say back then, it was a very, very tough learning to understand that my life and my inner life, my soul, as well as my outer life was a total mess. And it didn't felt like that. It felt like everything is under control and everything is working. But suddenly there were these panic attacks and anxiety disorder situations. And suddenly I was questioned. I mean, physically, mentally. Many people who suffer from that have really, really negative and bad thoughts. I was suffering of that as well. And suddenly everything was questioned. And then to understand that the question is not against you. It's not that you are questioned or I am questioned by this disease, but the situation around me. Is that really what I want? Is that the way I want to go forward? And that really taught me that it's my responsibility to look for my stability, to look for my economic stability, all these things, but also to foster a let's call it a chosen family, people around me who support me, who give me that strength I can work on. But also, one of the biggest learnings was I am not good if I don't have dreams. I'm not good if I don't have a view into the future where I think, okay, I don't know whether it's possible or not, but my best idea of how I want to live, where I want to live, what are the people I want to work with, or things like that. If I don't have these best ideas ever for my future, and that is really one of the strongest powers I learned back then, that these, I call them attractors, because things you project into your future that are positive, they attract you. They bring you to that, to these points. That these was, or and still is, one of the most amazing superpowers I have.
That's great that you're talking like this about it. Because I think each of us has to figure out much more and much more often about your superpower. And your superpower is such a great thing. I mean, you know, the American cinema movies where it's about the people with a superpower and the kids love this. And then adults come and say, no, you don't have a superpower. Don't think that you're special. No, that's completely wrong. Everybody is special. Everybody has a superpower. Think about it and get dressed also up like this, like the one with the superpower. Don't forbid you anything. This is so crazy in this world where laughing is often forbidden, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. And when you talk about dressing up, I mean, as a drag queen, I of course dress up. I mean, that's so important in my life. But there's something really interesting psychologically about that. And you just mentioned kids dressing up as superheroes. Back then, I mean, it's really the time of the anxiety disorder. I discovered drag for me, and back then I didn't really know how to study, what to study, how to become the person I want to be. And one of the biggest learnings was I wanted to become a journalist at back then, and work for newspapers and things like that. So I dressed up as a drag queen journalist, and my role on stage was the reporter, the reporting person, the journalist. And what happened was suddenly, well, there were TV cameras on me, and I had a microphone in a hand, and they asked me, okay, can you do the moderation here for this thing? And suddenly I was writing for newspapers about queer books or queer events. So by impersonating that role, it became true. And that also means if you dress up as a superhero, you impersonate it and it can become true. It empowers you. And that is not faking until you're making. And I think there's nothing bad about that, but it is really giving yourself the allowance to go that way.
Absolutely. And this is great what you're saying. It gives you the allowance. We often forbid this to us. We are a kind of court of a society. And I sometimes see it as small kids where I think, oh my God, that's so bad. Where kids tell me, you're not allowed to do this or that. And I say, why? Oh, it's standing somewhere. I said, yes, but who has written it and for whom? Oh, I don't know. But it's just forbidden. I said, no. If you can't answer me the question, I won't follow you this. I have my own rules. Oh, but this is not good. I said, who was saying this to you? And of course, we know, Daniel, that this is often following fear or following also uncertainty, following or being overwhelmed, that you put people down or yourself down to rules because this feels safe, and but it puts you down. It makes you smaller than bigger.
The toxic thing about fear is that it, in an awful and horrible way, it gives you structure. Because you know, it's one of the harshest guidelines you have, fear. So you try to fit in, and then everything is safe, which is not true, which is not true. But it gives, in a horrible way, a structure. And it is really a daring step to get rid of these fearful guidelines and say, okay, there is a world of freedom, there is a space of freedom. Because that also means you have to create your own structures, your own idea of how you want to work, what is your profession, how you want to look, how you want to interact with other people. You have to build that for yourself. And that is some work, yes, indeed. But the promise is that you're going to find your better self, you're going to find your better version of yourself, and you will be much more happy in the end, definitely.
What do you think, Daniel? I mean, if I look into the world, I have the feeling that this tendency of making the people more streamlined or putting them more narrow-minded is a tendency which is, from my point of view, against democracy. It is against diversity. What do you think? Why is this tendency currently growing? Or maybe you say, Annabelle, you're wrong. It's not growing. But this is my feeling when I look around.
I mean, it is absolutely growing. I totally do agree. And there's a great philosopher. Sorry, I don't have the name now. But the interesting idea he has is to talk about developments in society in that they have different speeds and different directions. So it's not just the whole of society is getting more conservative and less creative and less diverse. Some parts, and at a moment, it's a big part. But at the same time, when I look at, I do so many moderations at prides and things like that, and there are these, whatever, 16, 17, 18-year-olds who teach me about identity and gender and how to talk about it. And I see, wow, that is amazing. They open up a new world. All these kids fighting for climate change and things like that. So there are quite fantastic young people going forward. But you are right. At the moment, there is a tendency to label diversity as a threat. But I mean, I give so many workshops in schools about diversity, and I have that very simple picture I usually show in the beginning. And the one is a dead coral reef that is bleached. And the next picture is a colorful living coral reef. And it's always, here you see diversity. Nothing is more diverse than a coral reef that is alive. And if you take away the diversity, it is dead. The rainforest is always beautiful with all the different creatures that find their tiny little spaces where to live and what they do and how they nourish themselves and all that. Diversity is possibly the biggest basic hum in the world. It is a basic natural principle that makes things healthy. So it is a very simple conclusion to say a diverse society is a healthy society.
Absolutely. And I think everybody can change something for the better. You're a great sample for that. We should never stop. And if there comes challenges shows us that there is something alive, so that there is something reacting. So this shouldn't be a stop. That should be an even growing thing. And I mean, I like also that you use this design for something which is which shows a side of you, which gives people another idea also on how they can express themselves. Can you tell us a little bit about what can you express on stage that daily life doesn't allow you?
Well, thank God, being now 56, I allow myself everything, and I'm not held back anymore. But the dean does something really interesting. So I give a lot of lectures in philosophy in drag as the dean. There is something really interesting when I do that, because people suddenly have something to laugh at. It's colorful, it's joyful. And it's like an open entrance door. People come into a philosophy lecture and think like, oh, that's fun. Okay, let's sit down. Let's listen to that. So somehow I give other people with this drag moment the allowance to listen, to deep dive, but also to laugh at things. I mean, usually when you go into a philosophy lecture, everybody's sitting there listening and it's very earnest and all that. No, it all can be very fun. But it only can be fun and if I take myself and my role as the dean very earnest as well. So I'm usually not I'm very funny, but I don't see myself as a comedian, because I try to show that what I do here in drag is as earnest and honest as if I would not be in drag. There is no difference here. It is just, it opens up possibilities and it empowers me. It empowers my audience in a funny way. So I like that. It is like saying, now we step into another world. Let's be for 1 hour in another world. Everything is possible. And now we're going back to ordinary life, whatever that is. I love that a lot.
I think how you describe it, I think it would be great to offer a kind of theater workshops for everybody, who to give everybody the chance to take a costume on his choice and before 1 hour the person you want. And I mean, this is, for example, something where I think a carnival is has also its place, where the people find their chance, which is socially accepted, that they can get into each costume they want. There can be everyone they want, from a tiger to a cat, from a queer person to everybody. For a few days, it's allowed.
Absolutely. And you mentioned children becoming superheroes in costumes. I think psychologically it is so interesting if you see what it does to the young children to that they learn they can change the world. Even though the world as a child seems overly big and with all the grown-ups and whatever, but they learn there is a possibility you will grow up and you will be able to change the world. And we have to teach us ourselves again and again. And for me, drag is doing that, carnival is doing that, dressing up is doing that. You can change your world, the world. You can't even change yourself. You can change your gender for a moment or forever, however you want to. You are the master or mistress of your life. You are the one who can decide how you want to live.
Yes, exactly. And this is a call for freedom, which starts at yourself. Everybody can do this, whatever in whichever whatever situation you are. And I mean, you're a public figure. You have responsibility and a kind of. And on the other hand, I think each of us has also moments where we feel overwhelmed because we are doing so many things. People ask us, how do you make sure that you stay centered? How do you make sure, what hacks do you have over the day to make sure that you don't get eaten by the public?
Very good question. The first thing, or the first challenge I have in my life is that I really do a lot of very different things at the same time. It's not that I have one company, but I'm writing books, I'm publishing games for diversity, I give lectures in diversity and philosophy, I have my market research consultancy and brand consultancy, I have my perfume company, and all these things. And each aspect of that is asking different questions at the same time. So it really helps to structure the day and to say, okay, this time is for this topic, this time is for this topic, and this time is for this topic. That's the one thing. And the other thing is really to understand that all this comes from the same source of creativity. It is not that I jump into a costume and be Didine. I'm always a little bit Didine. I'm always a little bit of philosophy teacher, and I always have this creativity, whether I do a perfume or a lecture or whatever. And I'm always a little bit a stage person, no matter if I stand in front of 10 years old to teach them about the diversity or giving a talk at a bigger conference and being a keynote speaker.
That's a good answer. I like that very much. And going back to fragrances, I from my childhood, I love fragrances, and I put from my childhood on fragrances, ideas on fragrances to each, to situations, to people where I thought, oh, how should this people smell, or what smell would be a symbol to this person? If you would have to describe what is the smell of the world for you currently, what smell would this be?
Oh wow. At the moment, I love a very, very simple perfume from southern France, from Fragonard, which is a very flowery perfume, but which has a very intelligent woody and amber note. Warm. It has a certain masculine touch to that and a very
Okay.
female, whatever that is, flowery note to that as well. And it's a super comp it is a simple perfume, but it's quite complex. It is so funny because everybody asks me, what is that perfume? What is that perfume? Somehow it obviously fits to me very well.
Wow, that sounds great. I hope that we hear and see many more from your fragrances, from your philosophy, and from your thinking, to give people from every age and every orientation an idea on how it feels to be different, and how it feels to be colorful, how it feels to make a step into this world and give something back to this world exactly in the way to unfold your potential, whatever it is. Thank you so much for being with us, Daniel. It was such a pleasure, and I'm looking forward to changing the world for you, with you, further together, in different areas, but also together if it's possible.
Thank you so much, Annabelle, and Happy New Year to everyone who's listening. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Daniel. So we have another break of approximately 2 minutes, and then I'm very much looking forward to having Caroline here on board.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, aunt and deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Hey, welcome here in the show, Caroline. I'm very happy to have you.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here. I'm really, really happy. From Sweden to UK, then thank you. We are really happy.
So from Sweden to the world, today's guest is a leader who stands for clarity and complexity, progress without noise, and growth with substance. Carolina Hartmann is a woman known for shaping business development and strategic partnerships with calm focus, strong values, and a deep understanding of what truly drives sustainable success. Her career spans technology, finance, and consulting. Yet what defines her most is not the industry she works in, but how she works, with integrity, curiosity, and a strong belief in collaboration over ego. Carolina leads teams through change, builds bridges between ideas and execution, and consistently asks the right questions at the right time. She's someone who believes that leadership is not about visibility, but about responsibility, and that real impact comes from clarity, consistency, and learning every day. Today, we talk about her journey, her mindset, the habits that shaped her work, and the insight she's gained along the way, from childhood influences to professional decisions, from personal discipline to strategic thinking. This is a conversation about growth, focus, and what it really takes to build something meaningful in a fast-moving world. So, Caroline, or Carol for shorter, what kind of child were you? Curious, focused, independent, all of the above?
I love everything. I think that it's a salad, you know. So you need to grab everything in your daily basis. It's about what is challenging you, and how this challenge is going to affect your environment. It's about how you are going to be forward with the opportunities that you are having in front of you. Then sometimes somebody say that, but I have only lemons. Okay, but do lemonade. No, it's about how you can accomplish your goals and how you can go forward.
Can you share one of the most significant moments of your childhood with us?
Yes, I was thinking in that, and I think that for me it was the first time that I was pilot a drone. over a really vulnerable landscape was a really challenging because it was a wow moment where you feel stressed, but you feel fulfilled, but also you feel freedom. Then it's a really strong combination about different emotions and feeling, but for sure, a lot of responsibility.
And what about your childhood, your parents, your siblings maybe? How did you grow up? Was there a kind of home really warm and cozy? Was it more sparkling and a big city? Or what was the home or the base of then what built the Carillon of today?
Oh, wow. This is a really deep and really important learning, and also it's part of my memories all day when I take challenges. My mom was the first woman in my family that was choosing trousers, jeans, and then imagine that in the family. And also she was a really rebel woman because she was a painting woman. And yeah, in those times that the women need to cook, need to clean, and need to be aware of the family. For sure, she was aware of us, but also she was a free spirit, and she was painting. In those times, that was Diego Rivera, and this style that she have a lot of famous painters that they were visiting our home, and for sure I see them, I see her, and I think that was a strong example for me. And my father was a really, really kind person, really friendly, and he was taking care of us when my mom was painting. Also, he was helping, or the family was helping my mom to succeed. I remember one of his first expositions in Mexico, in Bellas Artes, and it's really, really famous part of his life. And we were hanging the paintings, and my father and I, we were helping my mother, and seeing, I have it perfectly in my memory, this meaning when I see my father helping my mom, and she was trying to be somebody. It was really important for us. I think that for me, it was a really, really important moment in my life.
That sounds great. What paintings did your mothers do?
But she was more like this freestyle. I have here in my office many of them. I can see two or three. She was painting with different textures, vinyls, and she was more like this free moment with, like I was telling you, with at the time of Frida Kahlo and Diego Rivera. She was painting different kind of styles. I have here, for example, some paintings with a landscape, but I have also others really crazy. Really beautiful indeed, but you need to see them. You need to go deep into the paint. She was painting different. I think in all of his life, she was moving forward for different styles, and she was trying to figure it out. She was testing everything around.
And did it inspire the small Caroline to do something creative too? Maybe painting, maybe something completely different.
Completely different, because my jobs all days, it's about creativity, you know. The customers, the people that is near to me, choose me because I need to. I can fix things in different way. I use the creativity in different way. And also, I was studying creativity in Buffalo University, and I really love it. When I was studying there, I was really, really happy because I discovered that the mind can fix things in different way. When you are trying to fix a problem, normally you try to fix the problem in the same way that you normally solve problems. But when you take it easy, when you breathe, when you try to figure it out, different options to solve a problem, you can discover that you can solve them in different ways. Then when I was studying there, I discovered that I can fix problems in completely different ways. It's a really creative ways, and this is an explosion when you are trying to figure it out how you can solve a problem, and you feel free. You can feel also in control of your decisions, because you can choose how you can solve a problem. It's only one side of the problem. You can solve it in different ways. And then I was pushing myself all of the time. And then normally I can solve problems, for example, in five different ways. Then for me, it's nice, and it's also it's playful, because I can solve problems in different ways with different kind of opportunities, and also being really creative.
That's great. And do you have those special methods how you do this, or just follow your intuition, your greater spirit?
No, for sure. When I was trained in CPS, creative problem solving strategy, you can follow the method. Then you can follow different kind of methodologies. Also, I was a student, and I'm being part of the creative association. Then we discovered that you can use a method that is discovering data, gathering data, be creative, testing, and improving. But also, I was a student and I'm a professor in design thinking. Then for me, it was a beautiful meaning to understand how the people and the mind can be creative. And you can use methods, because also to be creative, you need to follow steps. It's not about the creativity came directly to me. We are not in real creative because, wow, now is the creativity moment then. No, it's not. I don't believe that is that. You need to push your boundary. You need to push your brain, your ideas, and go forward for different kind of opportunities and ideas. And for sure, you need to test. You need to improve, but you need a plan. Without a plan, sorry, it's not possible.
Absolutely. It's great that you say that. I mean, for me as a former piano player, it was exactly that. You need a plan. You need first to be theoretical or professional good, and you need to learn the melodies and play them. And then the creativity comes. Then the creativity makes out of just playing tones and melody, which is so unique that you can, that you get the hearts, that you get, make people crying, but not because of the song, but because of your interpretation of the song, of the creativity you put into this to make something special out of this, right?
Yes, for sure. And also, when you know about, when you're thinking about how you can be creative, sometimes comes the aha moment, the wow moment. But this wow aha moment, it's the most of the times is when you are relaxed. Maybe you are playing the piano, trying to follow some of the partitura of the music that you try to follow, maybe because you are listening, because you are emotional. And this moment comes the aha. But this was not because it was aha, because aha. It was because you were following the plan. And then in certain moment, it's the aha moment when you are ready to understand that the aha moment is there. But it's about plan and creativity. And also in design thinking, we really love to prototype everything, because before to have the final result of something, when you are saying that you are going to finalize something, for sure you need to test. You need to think if you are going to decide if you are going to use something different in your final part of your product or your service. Then we really love to prototype, and for me, prototype it's a playful moment, because you are prototyping, you are trying to figure it out how the people is going to use your product, your service. How are you going to feel if they are feeling a really nice paper, for example, for your hamburger? No, it's not only about how tasty the hamburger is. It's about the packaging, no? Then there are different parts of the prototyping, and for sure you need to think what the people like, how you can make the people more happy, and how the people can feel the emotions in different ways.
Absolutely, emotions is super important. And of course, you need also to be fresh with your emotions. You need to have space for your emotions. How do you deal with this, and how do you handle pressure without losing clarity and creativity?
Wow. Well, it's about many times when you are trying to solve a problem, when you are trying to be there and try to control all of the issues that they're around on your daily basis. I think that it's part of the important area where you need to have a perspective and responsibility about. Then these two parts of the pillar when you are having to choose something, it's more important about responsibility and how you can be in control, about how you can understand this complexity. And then also you can think in different stages or scenarios. Also for me, it's really important to think, okay, this scenario can make me this answer. This other scenario maybe is good for the next step, but also the next scenario will be for the next 6 months. That for me is interesting to use, for example, foresights, because you can see in the future, you can see in the present, and you can decide what you like to do in the medial time.
Absolutely. What do you do as a personal hacks to keep yourself clear, fresh, and vital? Do you have some rituals over the day?
Yes, I have. I am a ritual person. I think that is important. Yeah, because with creativity, you can blow your mind, and sometimes you need order in your thoughts. First, for me, it's really important to spend time with myself, thinking, no, nothing more, only thinking, only be with myself, try to feel myself. And for sure, it's really good and important to be healthy, healthy food. Then I have a Ayurvedic dietary. Then it's really important for us, because with a good food, you can have a really good thoughts. Then next, it's meditation. I really love to use meditation in three or five times per day, because I have a special alarms. Then more or less, 4 or 5 times per day, I stop everything and I do nothing in 3 or 5 minutes. Nothing at all. Nothing. No TV, no computer, no telephone, nothing. Only being there, waiting, relax, focus, reading. And it's really, really important. The another is exercise. I do a lot of exercise. And I think that it's really important to do exercise, because also your brain can rest and your body can be ready for the next part of the journey, and sleep well. Really good sleep. We need to sleep well. We need 8 hours for sleep. It's really important for our organism. Then this is the fourth part of my rituals.
Great, Caroline, to remind us also that sometimes the things to keep us vital are the most easiest things, if we just accept that we take time for that, that it needs time, and that it's time we take for ourselves, right?
Yes, exactly. It's really important. When somebody is questioning me about, but you have a lot of energy. No, I don't have a lot of energy, is because I can manage my energy in different moments, because you are keeping your energy when you need it. But you need the rituals to be aware, to be healthy, to have energy to do something. If not, you are going to feel all time tired, or you are going to feel that you cannot have this extra energy to do something more.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Caroline. Maybe one sentence, one last sentence, what do you advise others for this year?
Oh, I cannot advise nobody. I only can share, because I'm really happy, for example, here in Woman in Tech in Sweden, we're really happy sharing with each other. I really believe that we can help each other in the easy way this next year, being friendly, try to collaborate, no fight. Leadership is not about who is the best or who have the best idea or who is the first. I really believe that leadership is about collaboration. It's about be kind and trust with the people.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Caroline. I look forward to our ongoing exchange and the impact we will continue to make together the world a better place. So that wraps up our episode of We Empower, the weekly radio show dedicated to celebrating the strength, resilience, and limitless potential of us, of human around the globe. Join us again next week as we continue on this empowering journey, sharing real stories of triumph, upliftment, and empowerment. Your presence and engagement mean the world to us, and we appreciate you taking the time to tune in. Remember this time as a gift for you to discover new inspiration, embrace exciting insights, and find the right motivation to love life to the fullest. Don't hesitate to get involved. Thank you for being part of this community. Until next time, keep shining and empowering others. Together, we rise. Thank you, and see you next week.